Back in the performance studio once again tonight on WWM at Night with Milwaukee's Annie Beam. And on our Facebook page a couple of nights ago, I said that she was indefatigable.
And that's a big word.
That's a big word. But we're going to add to that. We're going to add to that irrepressible.
Oh, my goodness.
Irresistible.
Oh, goodness.
And insanely talented.
Oh, shucks.
Glad you're here tonight. Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. We're so excited to be here, Scott and myself.
And you are, without a doubt, one of the hardest working women in show business around here. And this weekend, we find you at Stonefly, you and the whole band, right?
I am so excited. It's our first time playing there, so come on out.
And who are you with?
We are with a band called Astral Subastral. I know you've played them on WWM at Night.
Yep.
And November Criminals. And then we've got a visiting band from Appleton and Citizen Planet. So it's a full night of entertainment. And the Citizen Planet is actually doing some stuff in between the bands.
Cool.
So, and then we go on at 11:30. We're the late night party animals.
Late night, Saturday night.
Yeah.
Well, I mentioned you were insanely talented, and I just want to follow up on that just a bit, because for those of us who are, you know, somewhat bereft of any discernible skill, what's it like to be awesomely talented? What does that feel like? I'll never know. What does it feel like?
Scott, you should answer that.
No. Annie, you're so much more awesome than I am. What does it feel like? What does it feel
Stop
like to
it.
Be so
I can't
incredible?
Even answer that. I just feel like I am pretty good. I mean, honestly, I am no Mariah Carey.
Yeah, but you've got a gift.
Thank you. Well, I just have fun with it. Yeah. I mean, I think the most important thing is to share what I'm doing so that I can put a little joy into the lives of other people, because that's what makes the world go around.
We got to keep those people happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really important. I try and encourage other people who are chasing after their dreams and let them know that, you know, don't let anybody stop you. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not good enough. I'll tell you a story. When I was playing with my very first band in Seattle, we were finishing up the gig that night, and the drummer, who was my boyfriend at the time, he was the guy that kind of booked the bands. And the owner of this bar came up to us and he goes, "You know, you guys are pretty good, but you need to get a new lead singer."
What?
I will never forget that. You know what? I was like, "Really? Do we need to get a new lead singer?" I was humble about it. I was like, "You know what? I am going to face reality, and, you know, if we need to get a new lead singer, that's fine. I'll continue studying voice so that I can be as good of a singer as I want to be, so that eventually, you know, I don't have to listen to people say that to my band." And we ended up finding nobody that was going to be able to take on the part of new lead singer, besides the fact that we broke up about 4 months after that anyway, because, of course, the drummer and I were boyfriend and girlfriend, and so when we broke up, the band broke up. But so I feel like I don't care what people say, and I think that you have to constantly have a reality check about your skill level no matter what you're doing. And so I just kind of make sure that I'm always moving forward.
There's an old proverb that goes, "Never date somebody in your band."
That is a proverb.
Goes that far back, does it?
It does.
Let's play some music here, first of all. Let's go back to, shall we call them those early days?
Early days.
You going to play Kiwi Cafe?
Yeah, that was in the mid-90s.
Why don't you set that one up a little bit? What's Kiwi Cafe?
Kiwi Cafe is just that little greasy spoon cafe that we all go to on Saturday morning when we have to consume some very greasy hash browns and eggs and absorb what has happened to us the night before and drink some really muddy coffee that you can cut with a knife. And,
okay, let's hear it. Kiwi Cafe, our guest in the studio tonight, Annie B., and we didn't formally introduce
Scott Holloway.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
And he's playing
Djembe.
Djembe. All right. This is Kiwi Cafe.
She gets up with the birds 5:30. Her eyes a little bit sandy this morning. When she pours the lady that first cup of coffee, take a look at them eyes, they smile, they grin. How you doing, Joe? Hey, you're a little early. Same old but easy with a little cinnamon. Come some hungry folks, won't you sit a spell? Let me open the blinds, let a little more sunshine in. Welcome to the Kiwi Cafe. Never a better way to start your day. Tie in the briefcase. I only have an hour, something fast with a good taste. Get the order from the lady with the boy in the bright orange cap. Better not let the soup get cold. Thank you, ma'am, for the chat. You're in friendly town. Yeah, all the people, how they laugh and they bustle and they run about. Thank you for coming, yeah, see you tomorrow. Where you never have to beg or you never have to borrow. Welcome to the Kiwi Cafe.
Kiwi Cafe, Annie B. in the studio tonight on WUWM. Let's you mentioned Seattle and things. Let's get into your backstory a little bit. I mean, you didn't just land in Milwaukee 2 years ago out of nowhere.
I did not.
You've got, what, 6 albums under your belt now?
8.
8? Okay.
2 of them are live. So.
Okay. How has what everything you have done so far shaped where you are today?
It's an evolution.
Yeah.
I think it's really a journey, and that's the most important thing. I carry certain elements with me wherever I go, and those always come out, and I think that's part of what I deliver. Hopefully it's kind of a signature thing. But I have been moving in different directions, and I've got a lot of different songwriting styles, and so sometimes – it's hard for me to say, yeah, you know, this is what we sound like, or that's what we sound like, or this is our genre. Because, I mean, even just today, we're doing stuff off of the Kiwi Cafe, which is a completely – I mean, it's more like alternative folk with Annie B. and the Vagabond Company. That's more like alternative pop rock. So it's tough because I don't want to fit into any particular category. And I've been told, you know, you have to really have a sound. You have to know what you sound like. And I think that comes with just every record that you put out.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing wrong with being, I hate the word, but a hybrid act where you do a lot of things.
Yeah, and I can't help it. I'm not going to listen to people who tell me, oh, you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to sound like this and you have to sound like that, because that's just not – I can't. I wouldn't mm-hmm. be true to myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to show people the range of the things you have done and can do. John, you got that CD queued up? We're going back, 8, 10 years? And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, make sure you're holding on to something right now, because this song is going to explode like an M80 firecracker in your face, okay? All right, that's called Broken, and that was, 2003?
2005.
2005, from Shut Up Maria in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Give you some idea of the range that you have from,
yeah,
you know.
That's a good time.
tender folky to in your face. That's good.
Yeah. You gotta.
So you talked about your song range today, that alternative folky stuff, alternative pop.
Well, I do have certain songs that will probably never be recorded by me to be released. I'll probably record it and try and give it to somebody who it would be perfect for. Like, I've written this R&B song, and I'm not an R&B girl. And so, I mean, there's that kind of thing where I can say, hey, you know what? This actually, somebody else needs to do something with this song, because it's I can't do it justice. I heard, like, for instance, I heard this song in a dream. And I've written 5 to 10 songs that I actually didn't write because they were given to me as a gift while I was dreaming from God or the Same heavens again. Above. And so that's one of those songs that I heard in a dream. I woke up, I wrote it, and I'm like, I can't do this song justice, because it actually requires like this big choir, like a big church choir singing it. And
wow.
So that'll happen where I will draw a line and I'll say, hey, you know, this is absolutely out of my range.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's do one that's in your range.
Let's do that. That's good.
Second song here.
I can do that.
Second song here you're going to do is called Hide. But anything special about this one?
Oh, just don't hide your true feelings and what you're really all about when stupid reason why, you know, you maybe think that you should. Like, somebody might think of you differently, or somebody might, you know, you might turn somebody off. I mean, you got to be true to yourself and show your true colors and really be who you are. And if people don't like you for that, well, then they're not really your friend and they don't really love you anyway, so.
Here we go. It's called Hide.
I know you can't be. You
In the studio tonight with Milwaukee's Annie B, and we're having some kind of fun listening to music and talking stuff. That was called Hide.
With Scott Holloway on percussion.
Scott Holloway on percussion.
From Kenosha.
I want to ask you this question. This is another one of those real softball kind of questions. But was there, you know, some moment in your life when you decided that this is what I want to do?
Absolutely.
I mean, were you sitting in a psychology class or something?
I was. And in a psychology program. I was in a PhD program, and I was so depressed, I wanted to just shoot myself. And I came home after the first year. I came back to Milwaukee, and I called up my ex-boyfriend. I said, hey, teach me how to play guitar. And he's actually in a blues band here in Milwaukee. And so he taught me how to play guitar, and I went back that fall, and during that summer, let me just backtrack a little bit, but during that summer, I couldn't put the guitar down. I started writing songs right away. I had tried to write songs. I went to Marquette, and I ended up down at the conservatory for some voice lessons on like 1 or 2 days a week, and tried to write songs on keyboard, because that was my first instrument, and I hadn't learned how to play guitar yet. But I couldn't write a song to save my life. I don't know what the problem was, but I tried to write songs, and it didn't work. And then the summer that I learned how to play guitar, I just couldn't stop writing. I was writing like 2 songs a week. And I just, you know, my fingers were bleeding almost. I just could not put the thing down. I was staying with my parents, and they'd get up. My mom would get up at like 3 a.m, and there I'd be in the living room playing real soft. And she's like, aren't you going to get some sleep? And I'm like, oh, maybe. So then I went back to school that fall and started exploring the local music scene in Reno, Nevada, and found an open mic that I really liked. So I went there like almost every week, maybe 3 out of 4 weeks every month, and started getting more and more involved with my music and less involved with school. And I should have just quit after that first semester, but I made the mistake of feeling like, oh, do I really want to quit school? So then I went part-time for the second semester of my second year, and I just wasted all that money and time, and because I, you know, I had taken out student loans and stuff. And
still paying them off, of course. Classes are never a waste of time.
I mean, I did learn a lot. I'm really glad that I was in that program.
You learned how much you had to write about.
That too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find it amazing that it took all this time that no one, you know, with you and your, sledgehammer voice, or it can be that way at times, no one saw that. No one saw that. No one heard that.
I wasn't singing with the same kind of power back then. I tried to, but it didn't sound right. I've been doing a lot of training. Mm-hmm. I got my first teacher that I really liked is now signed to Blue Note Records. Her name is Jackie Allen. I studied with her at the conservatory. Okay. And then I studied with a opera singer who would go to Europe and do different operas in Europe, and she lived in Reno. I studied with her. Mm-hmm. And that's when I learned how to sing without blowing out my voice. Mm-hmm. I remember the very first time with my very first band, we had our very first live show, and we provided the PA and didn't really know what we were doing, and so I couldn't hear myself. And I just remember after that first song, I blew out my voice. I was like scratchy for the rest of the show, and it was like, yeah, I can't sing like this and expect to go anywhere. So when I trained with the opera singer, that was what she really taught me, how to use the voice and how your whole body is an instrument, and it actually works like any other musical instrument. You just got to know how to use it. You know, your diaphragm mm-hmm. has a function. The actual vocal cord has a function. Your mouth has different functions. And so you treat your body like an instrument, and that's when I learned how to sing real loud and deliver the goods.
There you go. Well, you know, we continue to expect things, big things, from you, solo, and your band. And I'll put a dollar on top of the djembe that says you go places.
Thank you.
Let's do one more song and then get you out of here. What do you say?
Woo-hoo!
To you?
To you.
Me? No. All right. We'll close with this, and we'll repeat your Stonefly Late Night Saturday.
Yes, Late Night Saturday at the Stonefly.
Yeah. The show starts at what, 9:30, and you're on at 11:30?
That's the deal.
Okay.
Yep.
One more song from Annie B. and Scott.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you both
so much. Thank you so much for
coming
us.
In and doing this. I mean,
we're honored to be here.
Absolutely.
You're busy people that got lives to lead, and you come down here and do this. We appreciate
it. Oh, shucks.
All right. Let's rip the last song here. All right. Thank you.